Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger. I'm your host, Nicole Blue Sky, and I'm glad to have you all with me here today. As always, you know, when I start the show, I usually try to pick a topic, and if you've listened before, you know, sometimes Spirit doesn't let me stick with that topic. So today, my people have been pretty adamant about what they want me to talk about, and it's not necessarily something I want to talk about, but I think it needs to be said. I'm getting the impression that there are people listening today or will listen in the archives that need to hear this information. It's going to hit you the right time, so whether you listen live or in the archives, it doesn't really matter. You know, you're led to things for a reason. If you're listening today, there's something here for you, so thank you for joining me. So one of the ways that Spirit comes to you is through songs. And I know people think, you know, that it's a paranoid thing to think that a song is following you around, that lyrics to a song are speaking just to you. It's not like, you know, the artist wrote the song for you kind of a thing. It's more like the song has something in it that is a specific message that you need to hear, and it'll suddenly get your attention in, you know, just the right way. It might be on the radio in the car. It might be while you're shopping at the grocery store. It plays over the PA system. And for me, I don't know how many times this has happened, countless now, so I just let it go because I know it's exactly what I'm supposed to do with the day or what I'm supposed to focus on. It's when I wake up and I've not been exposed to anything yet, so there's no reason for me to think that, you know, oh, I saw this and it reminded me of that song. So I still try to make sure that I'm getting clear and clean messages, even though I've been doing this for a little while now. So I still kind of go, wait a second, was I dreaming about Stevie Nicks? Is that why she's in my head right now? No, that's not quite it. So today, it's kind of a morbid kind of song in a way, but it has a very specific message to it. And it's from this band Stained, and it's called Something to Remind You. And if you've ever listened to it, I don't know what kind of music my audience listens to, but it's sort of like edgier stuff. It's more hard, heavy rock. It's basically a person who's passed talking about, or who's about to pass talking about what people will remember about them when they're gone. So the lyrics are, they're very meaningful, I think, if you really listen to them. It's not just a pop song. It's not just you turn it on and you rock up to it. It's more of a ballad. But it's, so when the day comes and the sun won't touch my face, tell the ones who cared enough that I finally left this place. And then it goes on, you know, to just talk about the guy's life. So I guess what Spirit wants me to talk about today is what you're doing with your life and what you're going to leave behind, who you're going to leave behind, the things that you think are always going to be there that you're taking for granted, that will not be there forever. We may not even be there for more than a day. We don't know, you know. One of the things that the song always reminds me of stuff that's going on, has gone on in my family, and just other people that I've known too who've told me stories about their families when there's a death in the family and there's fighting that happens. And, you know, this is the big thing that I need to share. And, you know, this is where the Boston attitude comes in, guys. So if you get offended, oops, oh well. If there's a person in your life right now, and whoever you are out there, you know I'm talking to you, that you're having a problem with, it doesn't matter what it's about. You know, you cheated on them with their boyfriend or girlfriend. There was money involved somewhere that didn't get paid back. Whatever the problem is, think to yourself before you hold on to this anger. You think you're punishing the other person, but you're not. You're punishing yourself. And the walls that you're building around you that you think are protecting you are actually challenging you. They're there because your ego puts them there for protection. There's sort of like this automatic reaction that says, I need to hold on to this. I need to be strong. I need to protect myself so this doesn't happen again. But, you know, God gave you a higher brain, people. Why don't we use it? Why don't you sit there and think to yourself, what can I do about this situation that transcends my primal reaction, which isn't always the right thing? I mean, it's there for a reason, but maybe the reason isn't for you to just accept it. Maybe the reason is for you to question it. Think about it. Ask yourself, what else is there that I can do? I'm not saying you need to call this person today and say you're sorry or expect that they're going to call you, but in your own way, if it's a relationship you don't need to continue with, you don't want to continue with, you don't really have to reinvite it back into your life. However, you do need to practice some sort of ritual of forgiveness. Forgiveness will set you free. It does not give the other person some kind of free hall pass that they got away with something. So you're not sitting around pissed off. That doesn't mean the other person got away with it. Plain and simple. And see, I know some of this crap is coming from my grandmother today because there's things going on that she's seeing that she doesn't like. But it's more than that because I'm telling you, I walked into my house after I went off my errands today and there was just a bunch of energy waiting for me here. This is super important and it has to be said. One of the other things I'm going to mention that is, like I said, Boston attitude, baby. If you wait until something is wrong with you, or something is wrong with this other person, like you say you're holding on to this. This is an active grudge. Let's say the person that you're having a problem with all of a sudden, you know, comes down with a terminal illness or gets in a horrible accident. They're in a life-threatening situation. That's not the time to apologize. That's not the time to reopen the door. You know what that is? That's selfish. It's selfish, and I have no sympathy for people who do that. If I had cancer and I was having a problem with someone for some reason in my life, and they suddenly came to me on my deathbed and wanted to know if everything was okay, I'm real tempted to say no, because all they're trying to do is absolve themselves of guilt. And, you know, that is a selfish, selfish thing. I need everyone to sit and think about what they're doing with their life. You all have a purpose. None of us came here by ourselves. There's a reason why we have two parents. There's a reason why human beings function better, even on an evolutionary basis, as a community, as a society. We're not supposed to alienate ourselves. We're not supposed to isolate ourselves. We're not supposed to be alone, okay? So the people that are in your life, whether or not they're difficult, whether or not they're generous to you, it's not all about the ice cream. And what I mean by that is everything doesn't have to be an ice cream cone for you. Everything doesn't have to be a pleasant experience for it to be a worthwhile, purposeful experience. One of the things that I'm going to share, this is something that I've had my own internal dialogue with my people for a really long time. It's historical stuff. When I was 8 years old, my grandmother passed away. She was my best friend. She was the only person in the world that I was absolutely sure loved me for all that I was, unconditionally, and it was gone after 8 short years of my life. It gives you something to think about. You know, that event plus events, you know, that followed it, it makes me think about stuff like this. And this is kind of why it's easy for spirit to pull this up in my head, because it is really close to the surface. And the real treasure in your life, take away, you know, your job, your sports car, all of the different things that you think, you know, you deserve or that, you know, you value about your life that are material. And what do you have? If you can't say you have at least one person in your life that loves you, that cares for you, you got to think about what kind of life you're leading. This stuff is so unlike what I normally get from spirit. It really kind of surprises me, but I'm feeling more and more pushed to be more direct with the messages that they give me. Sometimes they are gentle, and most of the time they are, but this is something that really needs to be thought about. If you don't have at least one person that you can say, this person is worth living for, you have to look at how you're living your life. You live your life thinking that everyone outside of you is outside of you and separate from you, It's the biggest lie we've ever been told. It is. That's why, that's what we're all looking for. We're all looking for something that's already there that we don't need to look for. The sense of connection. We are already connected. It's only our belief systems that tell us otherwise. You know, the stuff is ingrained in us since we're little kids. And it's one of the things that I've come across recently that it kind of has stirred up a lot for me to think about, and I think is useful maybe for my listeners. I downloaded a book called The Spontaneous Healing of Belief by Greg Braden, very well-known, respected person in this field. And he comes across in a way that is not, it doesn't make you feel like you're silly for not having thought of this before, if that's where you're coming from. He's really good about positioning things in a way that you can understand and that you can follow. They kind of go in steps. It's like a X amount of, not chapters, but he calls them beliefs. So belief number one, belief number two. A lot of what goes on here is because we can't keep ourselves off of our devices. We can't stop watching television or cable on demand, playing around with Netflix on our phone, you know, texting constantly. What is this obsession we have with being plugged in? Do you know? Of course you know. It's all about that very human and spiritual need for connection. We've kind of found a way to do it, but we found a way to do it that doesn't really, it's not really, it's artificial, is I guess the best word I can put to that concept. It's an artificial means of being connected. Human beings, we're meant to be touched. We're meant to be, you know, hugged, loved, cuddled. This is why when we're babies, that sort of cuteness is built right in, because right away, if we don't get that, you ever hear of failure to thrive syndrome? It's real, you know, and the terrible experiments they did with babies way back when, before ethics came into play, tell us that. You know, babies that were not touched or held or fed in someone's arms did not make it. Human beings need this. It's also a connection to our spirits, though, because spirit and body are not disconnected. They're actually very much intertwined. And we have a number of energy bodies also that, you know, invisible, but are also connected. A bunch of different energy fields that all communicate with each other. And like when I do a Reiki session, for example, the one thing that I always tell people, if you're coming here with a physical problem, know that it's been there so long, because the last place that everything shows up is your body. It's the last thing that you can't ignore. You can ignore the little whispers in your ear. You might even be able to ignore synchronistic events. And you might even be able to ignore people that come out of nowhere, sort of like those angelic messages that come through other people, letting you know something. But then once it hits your body, once you have a problem that you can't take care of with an aspirin, that's when you need to pay attention. And people just focus on the physical at that point, but you really need to go deeper than that. All of this stuff matters. You know, it's not a perfect science, but all of this stuff matters. Your beliefs, your relationships with people, and time will go on when you're gone. What will people remember of you? Give yourself the gift of knowing that you lived the life you wanted to. There are a lot of limitations that are presented to us over our lives. You know, when you're a young person, you have adults that tell you what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. Those are limitations. Here I go. Bad parenting 101. Don't listen to your parents. It's not that. It's because your parents do the best they can in most circumstances. But there are things that they don't realize are going to put limitations on you. I mean, I was a pretty sensitive kid. So I believed everything everyone told me when I was little. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, this makes me a good girl. This means I did something wrong. And once you get to a certain age, those things are no longer useful to you. Doing what you're told as an adult, not quite the same kind of, you know, feel as when you're a kid. So energy patterns that are in your body that show up as different kinds of illnesses, they could possibly be from things that you're holding on to. If you're holding on to some kind of resentment towards someone that you think you're too strong, you know, you're being too strong if you keep it, and if you forgive them, it makes you weak, I guess. I don't understand how that works. It doesn't make any sense to me. Let it go, because when you have a tumor later, that's what it's going to be from. Yeah, that's what I said. Resentment, not a useful emotion. Let your emotions be messengers. Don't let them tell you what to do or control you. If you feel sad, let yourself feel sad. But let the higher part of your brain that you were gifted with pop in and say, what could this possibly mean for me? Because it means something. And believe me, people will come out of the woodwork if you even ask yourself the question and answer it for you without you even telling them something's wrong. That's the way spirit works. You're never alone, and you're never going to be alone. Even when you're in a room by yourself, you're always being guided, protected, watched by the spirit world, by the pieces of you that you left behind in the spirit world even. Your guides, you know, honestly, I have one guide that I swear is just another part of me that I left behind. And when she's around, I get very specific signs that I'm being helped. And I know when, you know, the impression that you get of your guides, this is another topic I kind of need to talk about. I have pretty much, I have enough time to get into this. Your guides are a personal experience. It's okay to learn about them through mediums or if you go to somebody who's a spiritual advisor to help you with that. But they really are a personal experience. And in my experience, the main guide that I have for my life, it is a girl, it's a woman, at least she appears that way. And I always get the impression that she has my back and that we kind of had this plan together before I got here. Like, I almost know that I said to her, listen, when this stuff starts to come up, make sure that you show up somewhere because I know I'm going to do something stupid. And I think we've lived lives before. I think her soul's been around for a long time. I get a real sisterly vibration from her when I kind of meditate and we commune with each other. That's my experience of my guide. That's not going to be everyone's experience. And I want to encourage people to kind of open up without expectation to see what you get. Because had I got what I thought I was supposed to get, it would have been a whole different story. I don't know what I would have concocted in my head that this is supposed to be, you know, fifth generation ascended master, blah, blah, blah. Not that that stuff's not real for people, but, you know, had I made it that way, I would never have gotten to know my real guide because I would have somewhere in my head been forcing myself to try to believe something was supposed to happen so hard that what was happening would have been completely invisible to me. So I want to get people to kind of meditate, and it doesn't take very much. When you meditate, know that you're opening up. This is kind of important. They're kind of nudging me. Make sure you tell people this. Okay. see, I do what I'm told now, but it's from a different place. From a higher place that I can trust. And so far they haven't given me any wrong answers, I can tell you that. You want to make sure that you set a protection for yourself because what happens is you're going to open up your energy field just by the intention of saying, I'm going to be quiet and I want a message or I want to get to know whoever my guide is. Whatever you say your intention is in your mind out loud, it's going to open up your energy field because we can't experience these things with our five senses. That's the whole point of meditation. You're quieting all of that stuff that's on the outside of you, or at least what you perceive to be the seen world, so that you can go inside and commune with the unseen world. Different parts of you need to be available in order for that connection to be made. So you're going to want to set a protection for yourself. It's not to scare you. It's not to say that some big, bad, demonic force is going to come and just land on your head and stink up your house and whatever else you guys have seen in the movies. And some of that stuff is semi-legit. I'm not going to get into that today, but, you know, that's not it. It's not to bring in the vibration of fear. It's to bring in the mindfulness of what you're doing. I am consciously opening up. I invite into my space. I always use this specific being. Archangel Michael. Archangel Michael is so protective, so powerful, used by all kinds of different belief systems. Doesn't even, it's not necessarily Christian. Is he mentioned in the Bible? Yes. But doesn't mean that you have to be Christian. He's an ancient force, well before all of this organized religion ever came into play. Archangel Michael, please surround me with your protection. If you've watched Paranormal State, actually, you know, I say this stuff is not real. Some of the stuff out there is actually not too bad. Ryan Buell, he actually says a prayer when they all decide to open up for what he calls dead time. It's actually not a bad prayer. It's something like the power of God protects us, the love of God enfolds us. And it's an intention so that when you're opening yourself up, you're doing it with the intention of getting only the highest and best information and beings in your energy field, which is your energy. That's your energy field, man. Why wouldn't you be able? It's like having your house and, you know, opening the doors and saying, I want somebody to come visit me. Okay, well, you might want to put a little bit of a limitation on that. Maybe you don't want the dog next door to walk right in and start making a poop on your rug. You don't know what's going to happen. So what you do is you want to invite in something specific. You want to talk to the beings that are helpful to you, whatever you're comfortable with. I would like my angels to please surround me with their love and deliver to me the messages that will be most helpful for the problem that I'm having right now. And then just be open after that. Also, another sort of important thing, once the energy kind of starts to fade, because it will, eventually, you know, the conversation will be over, so to speak. Make sure you close the door. In witchcraft, they call it opening a circle and closing a circle. It's the same thing. There's an opening prayer in church. There's a closing prayer in church. There's a reason for these things. It's not just, you know, formality. It's because you need to make sure that you're not continually left open for the rest of the day, you know. Your energy field is kind of sticky and things will adhere to it. You want to make sure that it's not going to be open to things that you don't want it to be. So once you have your conversation or your contact with your spirit people, always make sure to say some sort of prayer of gratitude. Be thankful, be grateful. It's a very high vibration. It will boost your energy. It will make you feel good. And they appreciate it. They love it, actually. Being acknowledged is the one universal trait that I think all entities have, no matter what they are or where they come from. Recognition, big one. So just make sure you say, thank you for joining me in my space. I now close the door to the spirit world, and I'm ready to start my day. Thank you. That's all you really need to do. It's not so much the floweriness of the words as it is the vibration behind them. And the way that you commune with spirit should always be done with respect. If you think of yourself as a house, this is the easiest way to remember. Think of yourself as a house. You invite somebody in. You know, you want to be hospitable, yes, but you also want to be discriminating with who you let in. And then it is going to be time for them to go home. That's the way that it goes. I got about 6 minutes left. That is pretty much the show today. I don't know. There's not a lot of people in the chat room. It looks like people are popping in and out. I kind of open that so you guys can talk to each other during the show. It's hard for me to talk and pay attention to what's going on in there unless the show is purely going to be, you know, about readings or answering questions or something like that, which, you know, it doesn't seem like it pans out that way for me. I've tried to do that before. I always go off on a tangent. I feel that little swirl of energy around me that says something has to be said, and I just have to listen and let it go. Your place in the world, who you are, the people in your life, they're all very important. They're all a treasure. Please be mindful of those things. Don't allow opportunities to pass you by to forgive someone or to thank someone. It's not a weakness. You know what? I'm going to share something just because. Why not? I got nothing else going on. So one of the things that, you know, I consider myself sort of a servant of spirit. It's always been in my nature to want to serve or help other people, not because it makes me weak, but because whatever energy is most prominent in my body comes from a place of love, and it wants to give. It wants to be out there. One of the things that I like to do, you know, as you may have known in the past, I was a massage therapist. That was a big part of my life because it gave me some kind of outlet to do what I thought was spreading energy of love, caring for people, helping them come out of pain, and touch is very, very powerful. So I happen to like to give foot rubs because I know people that are on their feet. I know that, you know, your feet hurt. They bear a lot of weight. There's a lot of points inside them, reflexology-wise, that help other parts of the body. And when I rub someone's feet, I do it out of an act of love. It's like, I want to help you feel better. I want you to take, you know, I want to take care of you so that you can go and do what it is you need to do. There are people who think that that's an act of weakness and that because I'm not stepping on people or clawing my way to get something material, that that makes me somehow weak. I refuse to believe I refuse to believe it, and I reject that concept. Always know that loving someone and an act of love is never wrong, no matter what it is. It's just, that's going to be a whole other concept. So it's like, if you guys all know me, know that I have a boyfriend and his feet hurt a lot. I don't know what it is, the arch problems or something. So it's like, I decided I was going to just try to work on his feet a little bit. He takes a picture of it. Good job. Why does he take a picture of it? He doesn't think anybody will believe him that I do this thing for him. And it's funny because the reactions he get was, you know, we're all like, oh, wow, I'm so jealous. I wish that my girlfriend, whatever, boyfriend would do that for me. Well, of course you do. It's an act of love. It's something that shows the person that you care about them. And that's totally appropriate. There's no reason why someone should say, oh, what are you rubbing that guy's feet for? What are you, some kind of subservient? Come on. Really? Is that really what you think? Is that the concept of love that we've been taught, that caring for someone makes you weak and subservient? That needs to be eradicated from the main consciousness that's out there. In fact, I would ask everyone today after the show to say a prayer to the powers that be, source, God, whatever it is that you worship, or however you worship, that the notion that giving love makes you weak and powerless be completely eradicated and replaced with the correct energy pattern for what love truly is, which is love is God. God is love. And that's the thought I'm going to leave you guys with today. So thank you for listening. I hope you're going to get something out of the show today, you know, at least one or two little tidbits. If you're listening in the archives, everything that you're listening to is just as valid as when it was live. And, you know, I genuinely care about everyone out there that's listening to the show. My mission is very important to me, to be able to reach out to people who feel like they're alone or they can't connect, to help them understand that their loved ones are not gone, and even to just show them their path, not necessarily push them on it, just show them that the path is there. That's all I'm supposed to really do, be a way shower. That's what they told me when I asked, what am I supposed to do with this gift? You need to be a way shower. Not grammatically correct, doesn't matter, spiritual message. They get that. They get to have that license. So just be careful out there with the energy that you're putting out. It all does come back to you. And if you find someone in your life that you're having a problem with or you've had a problem with for a really long time, I urge you to please consider mending the wound that's there while you can, from a pure place and not when you think it's going to absolve you of guilt or when you think it's going to be too late. Don't do that. That's the mark of a weak person. Please, reach out to the people that you love. Make sure that they know you love them now. It's not important afterwards. Don't come running to a medium like me after they die and want to know the answers to things you could have known if you had just opened yourself up when they were here. It's so important. I can't stress that enough. The number one thing that people want to come to a medium for is closure for things that have happened that they didn't get a chance to remedy. You have that power to do it right now. So please go out and do that today, or at least think about it. That's all for today. I'm going to leave you with my signature tagline, walk in the light of spirit with one foot in each world. Namaste, and I'll see you next week.